Hear that? Up there in that tree? Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yeah, nau mai, haere mai, hoki mai te iwi. We are back for 2026. Me and all my homies love native manu, and e te wiki nei, we are talking about the kereru. And as always, here to talk with me about our precious native manu is my homie, Pete Tonda. Welcome back to the studio, Pete.
Morena, Liv. Awesome to be back.
It's awesome, eh? Yeah. You know, I was just saying to Pete, his outfit's looking very swaggy today.
Gotta put the effort in there, Liv.
Today, Itzi, we were talking about the kereru, the New Zealand wood pigeon, probably a bird we are all familiar with.
Yeah.
Pete, can you please tell us about the classification of this manu?
For sure. The kereru, they're endemic, so only found here. They're classified as not threatened, but in some places they are, and we'll get into that.
Yeah.
They're very old manu, like they're one of the earliest species that sort of settled, and they come from ancient sort of pigeons of millions years back.
We all separated out, Gondwana land and
that was
stuff.
Way back, 70-odd million, and there were some birds there. But they reckon it's about 2.5 million years they sort of evolved from birds that were here.
Gosh.
Along with the moa and the kiwi, ancient sort of manu.
Yeah, that's real special, eh?
There's one other related species on the Chatham Islands, the paria.
Paria, yeah.
But they split off a long time ago, so they're sort of related, but they're separate species. and the paria is about 20% bigger.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And so they didn't sort of get protection for quite a while. They were hunted a lot, particularly by colonisers.
Yeah.
There was some protection in law in 1922, but it wasn't really enforced until about after the Second World War.
Mm.
And when the Wildlife Act came in 1953, it started to get enforced at that stage.
So about 30 years of don't sweet fuck all. Okay. Anyway, talking about the Māori relationship to the kereru, kereru can also be known as kukupā kuku, which I know is up in Te Taitakoro, Northland, and kokopā also. They were an important food source for Māori. Can you tell us about that, Petey?
Yeah, they were caught with traps or using spears.
Mm.
And the traps were interesting. They sort of put like a vessel of water up in the trees and they had these little snares on either side.
Mm.
And the kereru come down to have a drink and then they get caught in the snares.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was quite an ingenious way of catching them.
Yeah.
And then they'd either sort of cook them on the hangi straight away or they'd sort of cook them a little bit and store them in their fat for storage. And they kept in their fat for a long time.
I know, because there's a lot of fat on those birds.
Yeah.
They're chungus mungus.
They are.
And they're also, feathers were used for feather cloaks, obviously due to their amazing colours. They're quite an iridescent bird.
Yeah.
And there is a legend that you've said here, Pete. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, a legend that Maui transformed into a white kereru to follow his mother, who went to the underworld during the day. She sort of left before dawn each day, and then so Maui followed her and wore her skirt, which kind of... That's what it sort of looks like on it, and with the colours. And so that's kind of a bit of a story about how the kereru got its colours.
I love that that's so quite cool. much. Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. And we've got some whakatauki to share with you. Yeah. E tiwi, we've got e koi koi, e tui, e ketiketi te kaka, e kuku te kereru. The tui chatters, the kaka cackles, the kereru coos. What do you reckon? What's that one about,
that's Petey? A beautiful whakatauki, and it sort of celebrates diversity.
Yeah.
Diversity of people, viewpoints.
Yeah.
Just, you know, ways of dressing, ways of being in the world. So it's about sort of tolerance and celebrating who we are and our differences.
That. I love that. It takes everyone.
Yeah.
The next whakatauki, ko te kuku horo taipa. The pigeon eats until it falls down.
This is going to be a theme.
Yeah, I love that.
So they often can overeat, the good eaters, overeat on the meadow and other berries, and then they sort of struggle to stay on their perch.
Which is kind of what we do as well, eh?
Yeah, particularly around Christmas. It sort of refers to someone who's, you know, likes their food too much.
Yeah, I love that. And there's also the kupu poho kereru. So you could say, kua poho kereru aho I a koe, I am so proud of you. So poho kereru kind of means to puff your chest out like the kereru and be proud. So if you want to say that you're proud of someone, you can say poho kereru, which I love much. Okay, Pete, let's get into some aesthetics.
Yep,
what are these birds giving on the runway?
Oh, yeah. we know what they look like.
Yeah.
A big, beautiful manu.
Yeah.
Quiet voice, but loud flight.
Mm,
you often hear them before you see them, and they sort of go...
That's a perfect...
Like that, eh?
That
really
was perfect.
Loud. I've been practising that.
Maybe we shouldn't have played the cuckoo sound at the start. Maybe we should have just had you doing a little voiceover of that.
And so they're about half a metre long. They weigh, you know, they're quite chunky birds, 630 grams. They've got red bills, red eyes, red feet. Their upper breast and wings are that beautiful iridescent green. They've got the sort of purple bronze around the neck and this white body underneath.
Yes.
And they look like they're permanently wearing a green bib.
Yes.
Which sort of relates to their healthy eating.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I've got a bib on, I'm ready to eat.
Yeah, I love that.
It's that sort of thing.
Or they look like they're wearing little white singlets as well.
They do, actually.
They're wearing a little wife lover singlet.
Yeah.
And where are they living, Pete? What are they eating? We know they're eating a lot of metal and other berries, but let's get into the nitty gritty of it.
They're sort of spread all around Aotearoa, mostly in forests, but also around farmlands, urban areas.
Mm.
See them in my backyard occasionally, chilling in the pururi tree or feasting on our guava berries.
Yeah, wow.
But there's no variation in the species across the mutu, so there's no subspecies, and that party are split off way, way back.
Yep.
So
they're not, they're like kind of related, but it's not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they originated from the same sort of line.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
But they split off so far back that they've then evolved.
And become their own thing,
Slightly different colouring and heavier and just a different species.
I'm like imagining a kereru and I'm like, how possibly could that bird get bigger?
Yeah, must be good tucker on the chaplains,
Shout out Re Kohu.
So they do like their food, love berries, particularly the mero, karaka, pururi, tawa, tarairi and others.
Yeah.
But they also eat sort of leaves like the kowhai leaves and shoots and buds.
Yeah.
And
I was also reading like they consume over like 100 native species or something.
Yeah.
And like they're on top of that exotic species as well.
Yeah.
So they're eating good.
Broad appetite.
They're eating good.
Yeah.
And so when they're eating these berries, Pete, there's kind of this kind of purudako about the kereru's. They're getting drunk from all the berries that they're eating.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about
that?
Yeah,
they do. Because they feast on these sort of overripe berries that are sort of fermenting. particularly from the Puriri, the Karaka, the Tarairi and the Nikau, and also guava and loquids. And then it sort of turns to alcohol in their crop, and boom, they are pissed. And then they can fall out of trees and stagger around, and it sort of reminds me of me wandering out of the Waitangi pub in the 80s, or was it the Star Hotel in Kawakawa? Maybe both. So God. Then the question I've got is, do they intentionally set out to get inebriated?
Yeah.
And I kind of think initially maybe it was a surprise when they sort of first happened, but I reckon after a while, I'm suspicious about their motives. Yeah. I reckon they quite enjoy that.
Yeah, they love having a good time. And that's what I love about the Kerridoo. They're kind of like, they fly around.
Party
like,
animal.
Yeah, the party animal, like the fat aunties of the sky. They're drunk. I love, like, when you go out to, like, Otari Bush in Wellington, there's lots of signs, like, watch out for the Kerridoo, because they're all flying through the air drunk and, like, having the best time. So, yeah, that's big love to the Kerridoo. And
But the other thing about that, they're really good, interesting flyers.
Yes.
Because they're particularly the males in breeding season or protecting their territory. If you go out into the forest and you see them, they choose a big branch and then they swoop down, and then they're like these stunt planes and they go zooming up vertically.
Yeah.
And then they just stall. And then they just drop down and they have this incredible arc that they fly up this curve. And then they go back to their branch. A few minutes later, they do it again. And it's a way of just saying, look at me.
Yeah, I love that.
Look how good I am, and don't come near my territory and my sort of manu.
Because they get kind of quite territorial about the tree that they're in.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, with the extinction of moa, Kerridoo are really only the only manu who can swallow and spread large seeds. Yeah. They have really big mouths.
Yeah.
And can swallow large fruits like the karaka and puriri berries whole. Which would kind of be like humans swallowing a whole orange whole.
yes, it would be.
Yeah. And
that's the incredibly important bird to help regenerate forests.
Yeah.
Because they swallow these berries and then they've got to come out the other end. And when they drop them, they're covered in this beautiful fertilizer, and there's just the perfect package to regenerate the forest.
Yeah, you've got your native seeds and you've got some freaking homemade compost with it as well. It's perfect. And the Kerridoo are monogamous.
Yep.
Shout out to our monogamous queens. Yep. Tell us about their breeding patterns, Petey.
Yeah, they lay a single egg in a very untidy stick sort of platform nest high in the trees. And interesting, they have dedicated shifts. So the female Kerridoo does a shift.
Yeah.
And then she goes and has a feed, and then the male comes along and does a shift. And so they've got, like, dedicated times where they're sharing the mahi. So that's pretty cool. And then
that
the other
really
thing they
cool.
can do is they can get two nests going simultaneously.
Oh.
So they have one nest where there's, like, a chick that's, you know, hatched and being fed.
Yeah.
But then they have another nest which they're incubating an egg.
Wow.
So that's
productive.
That's very productive.
That's incredible. And they've got an amazing way of nurturing their bubbies with this crop milk. Can you tell me about that? Because I actually don't really know.
Yeah, was new to me, and when I did the research, and a number of birds do this, but crop milk, it's like this protein-rich secretion that comes out of their crop, which is their puffed-out breasts. And so it's a sort of creamy-type secretion that the chicks feed on.
Yeah.
But the fascinating thing is that both the male and the female produce the crop milk.
We have so much to
learn.
They're
leading the way.
They are.
Equity.
Co-parenting.
Absolutely.
I love it so much.
Yep. And when you add in the berries, you know, you got this berry smoothie going on, haven't you?
God, I bet it tastes freaking awesome, eh?
I reckon. They learn quite early that food is yummy, yeah, and they want and lots of it.
Important for nourishment, eh? And just finally, Pete wanted to talk to you about the threats to this manu. Although they're not threatened, you know, there has been huge population decrease with colonisation, and then but then a huge kind of increase over the past 10, 15 years.
Yeah, in places.
In places, yeah.
Yeah. So they've got the predation is the biggest threats, and it's the usual suspects, stoats, possums, rats, but feral cats are a really big issue.
Yeah.
They can collide with vehicles or get, you know, zapped by power lines. But there's also food competition from possums is a big one. And,
wow.
and places like Te Tai Tokoro, where you've got lots of possums. The possums eat their food. They eat the fruit and then they browse and use shoots. So the forest can't produce the berries.
Yeah.
And so you end up with really low numbers of kereru.
And I know that was also a problem on Banks Peninsula as well. And once with Ngāi Tahu set up a kind of program there, once they started trapping possums, that we had some magnificent recovery of the kereru.
And in the areas where they do good predator control, they really just bounce back.
Yeah.
And but the other issue is poaching. You know, and unfortunately, they're still being taken for food.
Yeah.
That's a bit of an issue in Te Tai Tokoro. And it sort of raises the debate about cultural harvest. And the problem is that until we protect and regenerate our forests and we get a resurgent in large numbers, we can't really sustain cultural harvest. But, you know, that's a goal. That's an aspiration
that
we get back to that level of numbers that it can sustain cultural harvest.
Yep.
And I think that'd be an awesome thing because for Māori, that's a very important traditional food.
Exactly. And it's also, I think, as Pākehā, we just need to be, like, more open to that idea and not...
Well, we do it with the titi.
Exactly.
And other petrels, so it's, you know... And, look, we harvest fish out of the sea. And,
I know.
You know, so we've got to get our head around these sort of issues.
Yeah, come on, Pākehā. Oh, someone texts in, thanks again, the Birdman rocks. I'm on every word. Thank you for your text, Texter. And we've got a song you want to play to finish off. Pete, tell us about this
song.
Yeah,
I was sort of hunting around and found this New Zealand artist, Aro.
Aro, yeah.
And they've got this album with all these songs about manu. And this is one of them about the kereru, and I thought the lyrics were pretty spot on.
Okay, thanks, Pete, for coming in. See you next week, bro.
Okay.
When you're enjoying it with all you've got, another one will be just fine. I'm feeling the buzz, I'm feeling fly. No need to stop, I've got moderation on lock. I know I'm fine until I can't walk a straight line no more. My oh me, I've lost my bearings. May have had one too many berries. Spinning them lines now, I find I'm a little blind now. Another one bites the dust, she said, but I'm fine, fine, fine. Watch me and then you'll see. Temptation got the best of me. My oh me, I've lost my bearings. May have had one too many berries. Give me help, give me help, I'm
kua taka taku matan paore te kapai te kanga o taku miro whakabutu ngā kua tai te toi o toku tau rā rā ranga mai e tarau e piki
my only I've lost my bearings may have had one too many bearings.
Hear that? Up there in that tree? Oh yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.